Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And it is a joy to always be before Him. And we are today going to look at Paul and how he is in Jerusalem and the struggles that he faces. But one of the things that we know is that he bears witness to the Lord. He testifies of the Lord in Jerusalem amidst much opposition, amidst much, you know, commotion, but he is courageous enough. In fact, for him, he is ready to die. He, from the onset, you know, Prophet Agabus had warned him, don't go, that the person, the owner of this belt, the Lord has shown me by the Spirit that his hands and his feet shall be bound in Jerusalem. And the believers tried to stop him, those of Luke, but then Paul tells them that, why are you breaking my heart? Don't you know that I am ready not only to be bound, but also to be killed in Jerusalem? And he is ready, you know, and he's ready. And I mean, the Spirit lets him know that chains and tribulations await him everywhere he goes. But you see, Paul had a dual, what you will call like a dual ministry, in that he was to minister to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And when he faced the Jews, he knew that their problem was one, keeping the customs of Moses. And he would show them that Jesus was a fulfillment of the law. There was no need for them to struggle about throwing away their customs, the customs of circumcision that they had worked on, and all those things that they were trying to follow. But he tried to show them that there is liberty in Christ, that all these things are a shadow and Christ is a fulfillment. But, I mean, if you feel that you must, go ahead and keep it, you know. But the only difference is don't force your customs, the customs of the law, on the Gentiles. But then also when he will preach to the Gentiles, he was clear to them on what they required to do, and he followed the teaching that was given by the Jerusalem Council, where they are not supposed to, you know, to take blood, to eat things offered to idols, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. And that's when he comes and explains to James and the apostles all the things that he has done and how the message has preached. James gives him a warning. James tells him, look here, Paul, we have been told by the Jews who have come here have come with a report that you are teaching Jews who are all over the world to forsake the laws of Moses, not to circumcise their children. So do this. Instead, so that they know that you are a faithful man, they know that you are still a custodian of the law of Moses. Here are four men who have not yet shaved. That means they have taken the Nazarite vow. Go and shave your hair with them. Pay for their expenses. They will cut their hair. And people will be clear that, you see, well, you also keep the laws of Moses, and you're not against the laws of Moses, even in the faith, in the Christian faith. So this is what Paul did, and this is where we're going to start, and we're going to see the challenges that he's faced with, and also how he starts to defend himself. So in Acts 21, from verse 26, the Bible says, then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, he entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now, these are the four men who had taken a vow of the Nazarite vow to grow their hair. Now they are going to be shaved. Verse 27. Now, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. See how the Jews were still segregative. They will not even want the Gentiles to enter the temple. So It does not mean that there were no Gentile believers who believed in Judaism. Yes, they were. But whenever they will come, they will only pray in the outer post, outer court. They will never have the chance, you know, to enter into the temple. And thus, it was an abomination for the Gentiles to enter. And so you can see how they say that he even brought Trophimus. They accused him that he brought Trophimus, the Ephesian, because they had seen him with Trophimus in the city. But so they assume this one, he must have also brought this Gentile into the temple. Verse 30, and all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Verse 31, now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. So he started going through mob justice. They started beating him and beating him. But then the word came to the garrison commander, and he took his soldiers and they ran to where Paul was being beaten. And immediately they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating. Why? Because it was illegal for them, you know, to do mob justice. It was illegal for them to start a riot. It was necessary that law and order was kept by the Roman soldiers. So they stopped beating Paul. Verse 33, then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked him who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So even for the commander, he was concerned. But why are you being beaten? Who are you and what have you done? So, and you can see how the people were crying. One person is crying one thing, the other is crying another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. Look at how Paul was beaten, that he could not even carry himself up the stairs. He has to be carried by the soldiers. Verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, away with him. This is serious. And, you know, you think of mob justice, you think of how people are rescued by policemen, so that they are not in trouble with the mob justice. And it really takes only the mercy of God to survive such a beating. Verse 37, then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, may I speak to you? He replied, can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness? Look at the he's being thought of that he is an Egyptian who led a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness. Verse 39, but Paul said, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, now we're in Acts chapter 22. Let us listen to the defense of Paul. Paul speaks to the Jewish crowd. He says, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. You can imagine this crowd does not even know why they are there. One is crying one thing, the other is crying another. Even the Roman soldier does not know, are you a Greek? Are you not an Egyptian? You know, who had led people into their assassins, 400 assassins. But then Paul speaks to them in Hebrew and they keep quiet. You know, there's always something about speaking to people in their language. Someone say that when you speak to someone in their language, you speak to their heart. Huh? You speak to their heart. If you speak in English, you speak in, you know, to their brains. But if you speak in their mother tongue, you speak to them in their hearts. That means there's a language that people understand. And you see, when he speaks to the Jews, because Hebrew is their language, they were silent. Then he addresses to them. Now he's preaching to the Jews. He said, verse 3, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priests bear me witness, and all the council of elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now take a moment. He's opposed. He's saying, look here, I'm a Jew. In fact, where was I born? I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia. And I was taught by Gamaliel. Remember, who was Gamaliel? Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. Gamaliel was the respected teacher. You know, when the Pharisees had their own teachers, so it was their school. So they had doctors of the law. And this is the same Gamaliel who had spoken, you know, to the church elders when they were wanted to stop Paul and Peter and John from preaching. And he motioned them and told them, look here, leave this man alone. If what they have is from God, no one can stop it. But if it is of man's origins, we have seen many like this, it will not go far. So Gamaliel was a respected teacher. So when Paul says that he is a former Pharisee, is a former student of Gamaliel, they respect him and they know it. And he says, even you religious leaders, yeah, you bear me witness that I had received letters from you to persecute the people of this way. So, and I was persecuting them to the death, binding them and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. And so you see, and it was even sent, I was going on my way to Damascus to accomplish this mission and to bring those who are there in that city to be brought over. And he tells them, I was like you. I was zealous for the traditions, for the sake of, you know, of our father's law. I was zealous just like you. And I think that's what moves Paul, because he knows that all these people, and that's why even, you know, in Romans, he cries out for the Jewish believers. He says, oh, Jews, I pray that even I will give myself for you. You know, that my own people will not be cut off, because to them belong the covenants, to them belong the promises, to them belong the fathers, the patriarchs are of them, the promises are of them, the covenants are of them. But yet when Jesus came, they missed him and they are locked out. Verse 6, he tells them, now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up unto him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 17. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death. and guarding the clothes of those who are killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Verse 22. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Verse 23. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw the dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by him, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum, I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was afraid after he found out that he was a Roman because he had bound him. Now, we are going to stop there for today, and then tomorrow we'll be able to see how he also confronts the Sanhedrin. And I want us to take some key points of Paul's defense. Paul takes him back through his history. He shows them that, you see, I am zealous for the traditions of Moses. I have kept them from the day, and I was even persecuting the people of the way. You know, at this time, the Christians are called the way. They were considered a sect. They were considered, you know, a cult. I persecuted them. But you see, it was by divine encounter that I met the Lord Jesus. And he asked me, why are you persecuting me? And you know, I became blind. Then I was led into Damascus. And Ananias, who is a servant of God, came and told me to receive my sight. He told me that God has chosen me, you know, to go and bear witness to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel, and to see the Just One and the Holy One, and to hear his voice. And you can see how there was more revelation of what, you know, of what Ananias told Paul, that God has chosen you to see, to that you should know his will, that you should see the Just One, and that you should hear the voice of his mouth. So that means that there is a place where, when God has chosen his people, that we know his will, we can see him. And not only can we see him, we can hear the voice of his mouth, and we shall be witnesses of what we have seen and heard. And he implored him to be baptized, and he accepted. But you see, remember when Paul, immediately after he was converted, he started preaching to the people in the synagogues in Damascus. And then they were wondering, is this not the same man who has come with letters to kill us, to, you know, to imprison? How is he defending the same way? Then he goes to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, when he attempts to get to the believers, they refuse him. They are scared of him. And of course, they are angry with him. But remember, who was it? Barnabas brings him to the apostles and explains to him that Paul is converted, and they receive his testimony. But you see, because of the, you know, of the unforgiveness, the people, the Jews that are there, the Holy Spirit tells him, look here, these people will not receive your testimony. I'm going to send you far off to the Gentiles. Now, the crowd, it's interesting how the crowd at all this point were listening without a problem. They were silent. But the moment he mentioned that he is going to the Gentiles, that God called him to go to the Gentiles, they said, away with this man. He is not fit to live. You can see the challenge of the Jews. The Jews covered themselves. The Jews isolated themselves. They believed that they were the only covenant people, that they are the only people of God. And thus it became a thing of pride. You know, when they say, I am a Jew, I am a child of Abraham, to them it was an aspect of pride that everyone else was excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. And that's why when Paul says that, you see, God told him that I'm going to send you far off to the Gentiles, their only response is this: away with such a fellow from the earth. He is not fit to live. You remember the initial argument was, this man has brought Gentiles into the temple. He is the one who is teaching all Jews all over the world to stop following the customs of Moses. He is the one who is proclaiming all these things. He has caused chaos everywhere. And thus, when he mentions that, oh, depart, this was the word from the Lord, depart from here, for I will send you from far from here to the Gentiles. They say, kill this man, he's not fit to live. And so you see, a mighty commotion arises that the commander is forced. Okay, since this commotion is here, we're going to scourge you. But I love what Paul does. He applies his own defense. And this is really wisdom from God. To speak his rights. And there's nothing wrong to speak your rights. There is a moment where God will give you the word of wisdom to know what to say at a specific point. Just by that simple word of asking the soldier, is it right, is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman citizen without him being condemned first? And immediately the soldier runs and tells the commander. And the commander comes and asks him, Paul, are you a Roman? He said, yes, I am a Roman. And then he said, they realized they cannot scourge him. They cannot beat him. You can imagine they were going to tie him up and beat him under examination. That means he would even have been dead, because think of, he has just been beaten by the mob justice, that he has to be carried up the stairs. And then now they want to scourge him further under examination. But you see, God gives us wisdom of how to escape certain situations that are not meant to destroy us. We have a responsibility to apply everything that is needed. You know, for every moment, there is a right that you can exercise. I believe there is nothing wrong. And we can see even the value of citizenship here, that Paul uses it to escape a moment where he could have been killed. But you see, Paul is bearing witness to the gospel. And even tomorrow, we'll be able to see how he now testifies to the Sanhedrin, where he sees there are two sides. There are those that are, you know, be of the Pharisees, and there are those of the Sadducees. But then at the end of it all, there's a more interesting verse in Acts 23 where the Lord Jesus tells him, Paul, now that you have testified of me in Jerusalem, you shall also testify of me in Rome. To God, he saw that this man was ready to face trials, to face persecution, to face beatings, just to testify of me in Jerusalem. And because he has done this, you shall also testify of me in Rome. I don't know if the life of Paul challenges us. Such commitment, such in the midst of adversity, such dedication to the purposes that God has called us, such dedication, such unwavering commitment and faith, knowing that, you know what, it doesn't matter what I shall face. What I know is that I was given a commission. Yes, they will not receive the word, but I will go to that which God has called me. Yes, it goes contrary to my culture, contrary to my upbringing. It might bring shame. It will look like I'm a madman because I was one day doing this, but now I'm preaching the opposite. But he knows without a shadow of doubt who it is that called him, who it is that he met on the road to Damascus, who is it that has shown himself faithful with all the miracles, signs and wonders, who has proved the resurrection and the life in his life and also in the life of his companions. And he is ready to face whatever challenges that come his way. And indeed, I believe it's one thing to speak and to say, oh yes, we're a believer. But it's another thing to be a believer in the midst of challenges and to stand and be ready to be counted for the sake of the gospel. And I pray that God will give us this courage and this commitment to be able to be witnesses of the faith, even when cameras are on us or when cameras are not on us. May God help us to be faithful to the end. I'll stop here. I pray that God will give us more insight and reflections. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. No patience from my side.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for encouraging us today, for speaking to us through the life of this servant of God, that one who was committed to his mission, committed to that which you assigned to him, even in the midst of opposition, he was able to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And Father, thank you that you preserved him. You gave him wisdom where it was needed. And I pray for your people today that, Lord, you shall preserve them from the hand of the evil one. Keep and sustain them. Watch over them that the enemy shall not come near them, O God. They shall be covered. They shall be sheltered. They shall be protected. They shall have the wisdom to escape the snares and the traps of the evil one, O God. That, Lord, even for our nations, that, Lord, you remember mercy, O God. Remember mercy over every plans of wickedness, every plans of the evil one, O God. May you release your mercy and your grace over your children. Watch over us. Protect us. Keep us and sustain us. Be our shield. Be our Father. Be our all in all, Jesus. As we rest, may your presence be with us, and that even as we do whatever responsibilities that we need to do, go ahead of us, sustain us, and keep us. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shalom, and blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.